Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of AppChat. My name's Carl Madden and here, as you know, here on AppChat we discuss the applications that are currently in the App Store or the iTunes Store. Joining us this week we have Simon East and the app we're going to talk about is Drive Game. How are you doing, Simon?
I'm doing well, Carl, thanks.
Good. So, Drive Game, can you tell us a little bit about Drive Game?
So it's an iPhone app that you have in your car as you drive, and it gives you some feedback, audio feedback and visual feedback on how to improve your driving and save you money on fuel, basically.
That's good.
So it's kind of like a, you can think of it like a sat nav, only rather than giving you directions for how to get somewhere, it's giving you some tutoring in terms of how to save some fuel.
So I take it that's obviously using the accelerometers inside the phone.
Actually, it's all using GPS at the moment because that means we don't have to have it fixed in a cradle and things like that. Mm-hmm. We're looking at using accelerometers and the gyroscopes to improve things a bit, but actually GPS is pretty good for this kind of stuff.
Okay. And so you say it measures it like how you're driving, and what does it do with that information?
Well, what we do is we process it in all sorts of fiendishly clever ways to work out how much you're braking, how much you're accelerating, how smoothly you're driving, and things like that. And from that, we can work out how much fuel you're using, and also we can compare you to an ideal eco driver. So we've got this idealized robotic eco driver, and we can see how efficiently you drive compared to him and or her, and that gives us a score. So we can score you out of 100 for every journey you make. Mm-hmm. And that means that everyone can compare with everyone. It doesn't depend on the car you're driving, but it means it's a level playing field so that anybody from anywhere in the world can compare their eco driving skill with anybody else who's on the system. So this all gets, each journey gets uploaded to a web server. There's a web portal and you can log in and see your performance. And each week there's a weekly chart that's compiled. There's a sort of global chart for all the users, and then there's a sort of countrywide chart for each one. And you can set up your own little groups if you like. And you know, the idea is to become top of those charts, obviously.
Now, funny you should say that.
Right.
Because one of the groups that someone has set up is British Tech Network Group.
That's right. We set up a group for you guys on the BTN, yeah.
Absolutely. And so I joined it this week and I was doing my driving around and I've gone straight in at number one.
Number one in the group. And where were you in out of all of the users? Did you see that? Let's have a look.
Oh, I didn't have a look.
Well, I'm going to look it up right now. It's just fine. Just bear with us here. This is all live, folks. Right, here we go. Carl Madden, number 6.
Really?
Overall, yes. 88.7, your score this week.
Well, there you go, guys. If anyone's out there wants to challenge me, just come and join, log on to drivegame.com, register your account, and join the British Tech Network group and see if you can unseat me.
Yes. Now the most efficient driver this week got a score of 95.9%.
Wow.
And that is pretty hard to do. That people, you know, I can't get 95% when I wrote the thing. So there you go. That's pretty good stuff.
Actually, I can see your score, Simon, on the screen.
Yeah. Is it poor this week? Is it? I can say that I was doing some sort of testing. That must be the reason why I can't even see me.
Obviously.
Oh heavens, 39. Oh, that's a terrible score. 76%. That's really very poor. Yeah, very poor. Okay, we'll just gloss over that.
Indeed. So is this little aspect of it, this does add an element of fun to the whole proceedings. I know the idea is obviously to save money and become a better driver, but the sheer fact that you've created a chart and a list and you can game, basically.
Yes, so we wanted to... When we were doing the original research for this, we spoke to lots of people about, you know, saving fuel, and certainly for a whole lot of people, saving the money was the big thing, and that's really all they were interested in. But other folks, especially people who drive a lot, they wanted a game. They wanted to learn a new skill and to be able to get better at it, to give them something to do, something to compete against themselves and other people. So we thought the gaming aspect was kind of pretty important, really.
It does. It does. Because as soon as I realised there was a gaming aspect, I did start checking it every single day.
Right, exactly. You see, it can become quite addictive. And certainly there's a few, there's about four or five users who swap each week between these high scores. So the guy in Italy and there's a guy in Hereford. And there's also this new guy who's number one this week, who's a new user. So this is Mr. Robert LFB56. No idea who he is, but it's interesting. You get people really competing with each other and getting some fantastic scores.
Okay, so what was the original idea behind DriveGain? I mean, what made you come up with the app?
Well, the company started at a stag do, actually. All good companies should start at a stag do, I think. So I met my co-founder Phil there, and he had come from a background of designing Formula One cars, actually, so as far away from saving fuel as you can get, really. But he had spent, 5 years thinking deep thoughts about how to drive economically and what sort of strategies you might use. And I came in with a background of developing mobile apps and having that kind of background. And so we thought, well, oil prices are only going to get higher. It's only going to become more expensive. Surely there is something here to help people learn this stuff, because it's not intuitive. The things you have to do are not necessarily the first things you'd think about in terms of. So sure, you can slow down, but there's various other things that you need to learn to do. And so we figured that producing an app to teach people that would be interesting, but also to add this gaming element would then keep people's interest alive in it. So we came up with that idea, and then we had to sit around building it. And that's a lot more complicated than it sort of first sounded. But so it took us a good sort of 18 months to develop the very first version of the app, and then we've been refining it ever since.
And so how long ago was that? Did you say that?
So we started in start of 2009. So we launched it sort of mid 2010, and we're now on our goodness knows how many 10th release on the App Store probably. So we've just been slowly refining it, adding more vehicles. So the initial version didn't support automatic cars, for example, which took a while for us to add. We've been just working away on it, and we have some more updates in the works.
Good stuff. So did the app present any unique challenges in its creation, programming-wise?
When we first started off, we looked at using these kind of dongles that plug into the car that can give you information from the car, computers and so on. And that gave us some interesting information. But the trouble was that sometimes the plugs for those things are rather inaccessible, and sometimes it would cause some nasty effects with certain dashboards and things like that. Essentially, that port was designed for sort of servicing the car, not really designed to be plugged into as you're driving along. Mm-hmm. So we decided that were, and obviously there was a hardware cost there, which was a massive barrier for people to use it. So we quickly realized that what we needed to do was use the GPS, just the GPS in the device, so that anybody could use this stuff from scratch. And then that was really quite a challenge to make, to model a car in such a way that we could work out exactly what was going on in terms of fuel consumption. So yeah, it was. There's a lot of quite hard physics going on in there. There's quite a lot of quite hard computer engineering in order to get. We're simulating various cars running in parallel at reasonably high speeds. And we've got to have that all running in the background on what was, at least for the 3G and the lower end iPhones, is a relatively constrained device. Of course, these days they have just the most amazing processing power, so that's perhaps less of an issue. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was quite a few challenges in terms of getting that. And then I guess the other big challenge was the user interface. So it's quite a hostile environment, really. A car, you've got You've got to present information that's not distracting. It's got to be very easy to glance at it, and it's also going to be very high contrast, because you know, if you're on a sunny day in the car, you just won't be able to see it. So that took quite a while and a whole lot of user testing. We kept on iterating the application over and over again to get a set of displays that were easy for people to understand and glanceable.
Yeah. Indeed. So I've noticed actually, because we've had a few sunny days, I know it's hard to believe here in England, while I've been out driving, the contrast settings are very good. I mean, I can pick out exactly what that thing's saying on the screen.
Yes. So, I mean, because it's designed, obviously, to be sort of attached to your screen, so it's a fair way away from you. And you'd be amazed how many driving apps we look at where people haven't taken that into account. Mm-hmm. But yes, so the text needs to be big enough to be readable, and obviously high enough contrast that on a sunny day you can see it, and you can see the meters moving and all of those sort of things. So, yeah, it's a little bit more thought has gone into the user interface than perhaps some people realize, because it looks a little bit austere when you look at it. People are like, oh well, couldn't it be more flashy and have lots of whizzy graphics and stuff? And it's like, well, actually, that just reduces the contrast and makes it more distracting. In fact, it's there's a good reason why your dashboard looks quite boring and black and white, and that's because it's there to just give you some information. It's not there as an entertainment thing, really.
Absolutely. So it has a number. If you get the free version of the app, because you've gone for the freemium model, as well as you can buy the app outright.
Yeah.
You get the basic.
Basic app. Yeah, so you get a basic app, and that gives you a readout of your MPG and also your current pounds per mile that you're spending on fuel. But it will upload all your journeys to the web portal, and you can study those, and you can take part in the game. Mm-hmm. And then you can buy various upgrades. So there's one that we that actually, if you were a BTN subscriber a few weeks ago, you would have seen we had this offer where we were giving away the cost meter for free, which just tells you what each journey costs. So we periodically update the fuel prices so we can exactly cost each journey. And then there's the other main upgrade is the advanced driver the fuel saving meter, and that tells you how much fuel you're wasting on accelerating, braking, and traveling at sort of high speeds. And also that's when the audio feedback kicks in, and you start to get audio messages telling you how you're doing and what you could be doing differently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've had some audio messages this week.
Yes. So, I mean, it's really interesting, because when we're testing this, so one of the audio messages is your speed is good. So if you're driving at what it considers to be a good speed, it'll say your speed is good. And then occasionally it'll say your speed is excellent, if you're really right in the perfect range. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how motivated people are, saying, oh, how can I get it to say excellent again?
Yeah.
And it's very, very simple psychology that we're using here, but it's that is the most effective way to change behavior, actually, is to give people positive feedback rather than just telling them off the whole time. And that's what we've concentrated on with this app.
It's not just your cruising speed either, it's also doing your braking and your acceleration as well.
Yes, yeah. So all of those things and your driving smoothness, which is another totally different thing. But so it gives you feedback on all of those things. And the braking is the really hard stuff. That's where people kind of struggle initially, because their initial reaction is, well, I need to brake, don't I? I need to brake in order to stop the car. But actually what you should be doing is lifting off the accelerator and just letting the car coast, but keeping it in gear. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it spins the engine around but doesn't use any fuel and slows you down. And that can save you a huge amount of fuel.
That's the one I'm trying to learn at the moment.
Yes, that's the hard one, because you sort of lift off and you realize that it's not good. You're not going to stop in time. You do obviously have to brake, and you realize just how far from a stopping point you have to lift off if you want to get down to a relatively low speed. And so it takes quite a bit of practice to get into that habit.
Okay. So you mentioned you and your partner. Is it just a two-man company?
Well, we have we brought on a VP of engineering about a year after we started the company, called Mark Wills. So he's developed all of the engine side of things, and we also have some consulting guys So we have an engine expert and we have a road safety expert to advise us and help us out. So there's five of us involved in various ways in the project.
Okay. Another question is, a lot of people come onto the show, they always express a difficulty in getting their apps noticed. So what's been your marketing strategy when it comes to this app?
You know, nothing really beats getting a bit of press coverage. So we've had, so Quinton Wilson, for example, has been very kind to us by featuring us a few times in the Sunday Mirror, where he writes a column, and that always gives us a nice sort of publicity blip. We've had, you know, various motoring bloggers and green bloggers blogging about us. Yeah, you just have to work all those angles and try and get you know, as many people taking notice of you as possible. So we recently had this this Dutch driver who we worked out after using DriveGain, he was saving about £560 worth of fuel a year.
Oh, nice.
As it had changed his driving behaviour so much. So we put a press release out about that, and Quinton wrote about this, and that and various other people did as well. So, you know, things like that slowly get noticed. But we're getting quite a bit of viral uptake now from the app. Obviously, people are talking about it, and the user base is growing quite nicely.
I was going to say, my next question is, so what's the reception been like?
I think it's been good. I mean, you know, people are sort of surprised that we can do this, I guess, and it's not so. Sometimes it takes people a little while to work out exactly what we're doing with this thing. But in, you know, I have a good, you know, an email a week from somebody saying this is fantastic. You know, I'm saving a huge amount of fuel, and so, you know, the reception has been very positive, I think, and we're very happy with it. And what we're trying to do now is, so we in September last year, we launched a version of the application with the Dutch government. So they asked us to produce a branded version of the app for Holland. That's called Fuelless. And so now, if you're a Dutch resident, you can just download the Fuelless app for free, and essentially that's supported by the Dutch government. So we're trying to move into that direction more in terms of getting big brands to come in and support the application and perhaps add some value for their customers.
That sounds good. Excellent news.
Yeah. So that's sort of our longer term strategy. But in the meantime, obviously, we've got the our own branded app out there for people to start using.
Mm-hmm. And have you any future updates on the close horizon that we can expect soon?
Yeah, at the moment we spent 6 months rebuilding the vehicle database. So there's a list of 32,000 vehicles in the app currently, but we were sourcing that information from all over the place, and the information was a little bit patchy and not as good quality as we liked. So we've literally gone out and researched it from scratch and built a totally new vehicle database. So that'll be coming along in about a month's time, and it'll allow people to select their car far more precisely, and we can then do a much better job in terms of working out the fuel consumption. Mm-hmm. So we know, yeah, the engine and the transmission and the weight and all sorts of stuff about that car now.
Do you have any plans to do commercial vehicles in the app?
We get asked about that quite a bit, and it's something that we are looking at. Because we can definitely model that kind of stuff, and yes, we have some discussions going on actually in a few places around the world where trucking companies are or people that manage trucking logistics are very interested in that area. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's something we're looking at, and I think, you know, certainly, you know, there's quite a lot of telematics applications out there, little black boxes that sort of plug into vans and trucks and so on. But those just tend to record what's happened. They don't really give a feedback to the driver on how they can change their behaviour. And so that's kind of where we really add the value, I think, in helping users really understand how they can check, you know, can start saving fuel.
Absolutely, I've got one of those little black boxes in my.
Right.
Yes, it's terrible.
Yes, so I mean, there's definitely a privacy issue with those in terms of uploading a whole load of data about where you're going, exactly what speed you're going, and so on. So we're very wary of all that stuff and make sure that we don't upload any kind of sensitive information that could come back and haunt you onto the web server.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, obviously, since you use GPS, just this week we had Apple announce their new iOS 6 operating system 6 coming out in autumn, I believe they said, and that's got a lot of new GPS stuff and map stuffs on it. Is any plans to integrate some of this? Have you had a chance to even look at it yet, actually?
I've only had a chance to briefly have a look at it, and obviously, you know, the detailed APIs are still under NDA, but the yes, on the base of it, it looks really, really good, because the mapping stuff is built directly into the OS. This is a whole load of mapping data. I think it comes from TomTom, actually. We're very interested to see how we can further integrate into mapping solutions. The app currently runs in the background, so you can run your sat-nav app in the foreground and run DriveGain in the background and still get the audio feedback. But if we can integrate those slightly more closely, there's some interesting things we can do in terms of, if we know the user's route and we can see the sort of horizon ahead of what's happening, we can do some extra fun things. So, yeah, that's definitely something that we'll be looking at as the iOS 6 beta progresses and see what we can do there.
Any plans for any other mobile operating systems or platforms?
I get asked at least once a day for Android. So Android is obviously the next big thing. So as soon as we finish this database, then that's what we're moving on to. Android is obviously the obvious move. Mm-hmm. And there's some interesting technical challenges for us to get that working, but nothing we think that's insurmountable. So, yeah, that's the next big thing.
Good. So, Simon, how long have you been a programmer?
How long have I been a programmer? Long time, I guess. I started programming in the mid 80s. BBC B. That was my first computer.
Oh, so that classic, eh?
Yes, the classic. So and I very quickly moved on to writing in the assembler 6.3 6.5.2 assembler in the BBC Micro. So yeah, I'm a sort of old school 8-bit computer veteran, I suppose you could say. I've worked in sort of mobile computing area all my life. I started off at Scion, so the people who made the Series 3A, if you remember that, and the Scion Organizer 2, and then that turned into Symbian and mobile phones, and I find myself these days in sort of iPhone and Android land.
So what called you towards iOS development?
My co-founder is a huge Apple fan. He's an absolute he's a fanboy, and so he had one, and he was convinced that initially we were really interested in using accelerometers and seeing what we could do with that, and we quickly found the limitations with that. But once we realized that the GPS was good enough to do what we wanted, that kind of sold it for us. And at that time, not a huge number of phones had GPS built in, so it was kind of a natural place to start. And obviously, it had the kind of audio and visual feedback we needed as well to run something in the car. So it was kind of a natural choice really at the time.
And how do you find developing on iOS? Is it easy? Some people say it's easy. Some people say it's quite tricky.
I've got a background. Well, it's interesting actually that Scion, years and years ago, when we were developing the Series 3A and the Series 3 and the Series 5, certainly the 3 and 3A, we were using sort of an object-oriented version of C, which we'd cooked up ourselves, which is really not that different from Objective-C. So for me, it was pretty easy actually. Just years of developing in C++ and various other object-oriented languages. But I can certainly see, if you hadn't had a really good grounding in some, strongly typed object-oriented language before, it would be quite a steep learning curve. And that's before you get on to the massive amount of frameworks that there is in an Apple device. So there's a lot to learn. And, you know, I think Apple's trying to make it easier, but it's, you know, it's not for the faint-hearted for sure. So it's quite a steep learning curve.
Okay. And this question I ask normally, I've actually asked everyone this question. If you want to get into iOS development, what would you suggest the best way to start is?
What is the best way to start? It's a very good question. I think if you've not done any object-oriented programming before, then you need to sort of have a go with something a little bit easier to get your head around it. So some Java or C# or something like that. You know, a nicely structured, strongly typed language. And once you've got your head around the concepts, then I guess download the SDK and just start messing around with some demo apps and things. I think you need to have that basic grounding, or else you're going to really struggle with all of the other things you have to learn about, you know, writing mobile apps and you know, the particular UIs that Apple uses on these things, because you know there's not enough screen real estate to sort of waste it mm-hmm. on these things. You have to get something that works UI wise. So yeah, there's a lot of things to learn, but I would definitely start with getting your OO skills up to scratch.
Okay. And any final tips for people who are about to place their app into the App Store? Any tips you can give them?
I think, quite often you'll see people talking about startups and they'll talk about minimum viable product and things like that. And I think, obviously that's a good idea when you're doing a startup is you need to get something out there as soon as you can. But having said that, the time you'll get the most coverage is when you launch the app. That's when it's most visible. That's when you're likely to get the various journalists that are writing about these new apps coming out to take notice of it. So it does need to be more than just the most basic thing you could ship. It needs to be a little bit more fully formed than that. So I think the days of just chucking something out there and letting it develop are sort of long gone. You've kind of got to have something that's pretty compelling from day one. Otherwise, it just won't rise above the however many thousand apps there are on the App Store now. It's a frightening number.
It is, and it's growing every day.
Yes. There were some incredible stats, I think, that they talked about in the Worldwide Developers Conference last week.
Yeah. Is DriveGain the only app you've got currently in the store?
It's the only app. There's various different versions of it, but yes, that's the only app that DriveGain produces. I actually have an iOS consulting company as well, where we build apps for other people. So we are actually just about to launch another app for somebody else. But yeah, essentially, I'm just building apps for other people in that business. So they're not under the DriveGain name or necessarily under the Curvor name, in fact.
Okay, Simon. Well, that's a great app. I love it. I really do enjoy driving around and seeing my score improve or deteriorate, depending on my driving style at the time.
Good. You did very well. I think for first week of driving, 88% is pretty good.
Well, we'll see when work annoys me. Watch that go down. this show and every other show on the network is brought to you by UK2.net. They really do keep us on the air, and they are great friends to the network. If you can show your appreciation by using them to get your stuff required for getting on the internet, we have some voucher codes for you. If you just go to our main site and scroll down and click on the UK2.net link and buy any of their services, and you can use these codes to get some discounts. If you always use British Tech and then just follow it with one of the following. DNS will get you free DNS for up to 2 years. Domains will get you 20% off domain registration. VPN will get you 50% off your first month for VPN. Server will get you £50 off any gigabit server on any contract length. However, that's an online deal only. And VPS will get you your first month free when purchasing entry-level VPS systems. Like I say, they really do keep us on the air. So if you can show your appreciation for us by showing them some appreciation, that we'd love that. Well, Simon, it's been great chatting to you.
Thank you very much.
Where can people get hold of you? Are you on Twitter or anything like that?
I'm on Twitter, so yes, Simon at Work on Twitter. So yeah, please connect and send me a message. Be interested to talk to any BTN people.
Absolutely. And DriveGain there's a free version and there's a paid version.
That's right. But download the free version and see, check if you like it or not. And If you do, then yes, there's a, you know, you can, for £1.20 or whatever it is, you can be having a fuel efficient drive.
That's it. Plus, if you make sure you register as well on the website, and then you can challenge me in my high score.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Simon. Thanks again, once again. My name's Carl Madden. You can get me on Twitter, Clausio1001. See you next time.